Okay, welcome everybody to our Chodesh Adar Bet learning. It's not such a simcha dikshia. What about the Gemara that says, Misha nechnas Adar marbin besimcha? And Adar comes in, you should have simcha. There's another aspect to Megillas Esther, besides for the simcha. There's the hidden and the revealed. The revealed is that it's a story that happened in Persia a long, long time ago. There's a funny Jewish joke. It's not so funny. They wanted to kill us. We won. Let's eat. The revealed is they wanted to kill us. We won. Let's eat. I'm not even making a joke. So we have Mishloach Manos, and we have Seudas Purim, and we have a beautiful Yantav full of Simcha. There's another aspect of the Megillah that we tend to overlook. That's the hidden. And the hidden is that Megillas Esther is not a story of Jews long, long ago in a land far, far away. That's the revealed. The hidden is that Megillas Esther is a story about all of us. In our day, in our time. And the focus of tonight's shir is Lahashmi, Laharugu, La'abi, Eskola, Yehudi, Minar, Vadzakin, Taf, V'Nashim, B'yam, Echad, Lishlalav, Navos. The focus of tonight's shir is who is Amalek. Who's Amalek? Long, long ago, in a land far, far away, if you're behind me, you could read ahead, there was a vast empire with a strange yet powerful king named Ahasuerus, who ruled over 127 provinces from Hodu to Kush. He had a wife that he initially put to death, an advisor that was eventually put to death, and a new wife who was Jewish and therefore unbeknownst to him was slated for death. In these ancient lands of long, long ago and far, far away, this strange, strange king had an advisor. His name was Haman Harasha Mizera Amalek. Which begs us to ask, who is Amalek? Who is he? Is he a religion? A nation? An ethnicity? Is he specifically from Amalek, who is the grandson of Esav? So is he from Esav? Is he from Ishmael? Is he Haman? Is he Paro? We're also coming up to Pesach, which is unbelievable. I have Amish Shabbos. I was just talking to someone. I said, the only Shabbos I have between now and Pesach available is this one. I can't believe I could say everything's booked. And it's almost Pesach. And we're going to sit down and we're going to raise the coast. Don't you think it's strange that we raise the coast and we're so joyous? Let's have a Yantif in each and every generation. Pick up your cup. They want to destroy us. Who's Amalek? Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says, Amalek is not a nation, it's not a people, it's not a religion, it's not an ethnicity. It's not Esav, it's not Yishmael, it's not Haman, it's not Pharaoh. Amalek, says Rav Chaim Brisker, is whoever rises up to get against you, to slay the Jews, to exterminate, to kill, to root out. That's Amalek. In each and every generation, says Rabbi Chaim Brisker, that's the definition. Which means it changes. Which means during the Spanish Inquisition, it was one race. Which means that in today's day and age, it's another religion. Which means that in the time of the Jews of Persia, it was somebody else. Haman was Amalek long, long ago and far, far away. So Haman the king said to King Ahasuerus, Yeshto am achan mufuzar and mufurad bena amim. They're such a weird nation. They're scattered throughout your 127 provinces. Bechol medinos malchusecha. Province 87, they're there. 65, they're there. 124, they're there. 2, they're there. 3, they're there. You can't get away from them. Mufuzar and mufurad. Everywhere I go, there's a Jew. But the same shonos mikol am. Their religion, so weird. They don't celebrate your holidays. They don't bow down to your idols. The same shonos. It's different. La melach in shova lahanicham. Why do you want to keep them? Let's have a Wansi conference. Let's get together and have a drink. At the end of the Wansi conference, they serve cognac. La melach vahaman yashvu lishtos. They sat down to drink. Va'ir Shushan nevocha. And the city of Shushan was perplexed. They were bewildered. If you see it's God, makes sense. You should destroy them. So they sent out letters in the hands of the runners. Go fast. Get it to all the provinces of the king. to destroy, laharog, to kill, laaved, to annihilate. It's called Yehudim. Minarva Zakin, no Rachmanus. 6 months old, 96 years old, 46 years old. Minarva Zakin, Tafanashim, Biom Echad. In each and every generation, they rise against us to annihilate us. Did anyone ever hear Miriam Peretz speak? If you have the opportunity, you should go hear her speak. I actually heard her speak at the Yom Kippur Vodmer, and I took notes a couple of years ago. I said a bracha before. You shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes I forget. This time I did. Miriam Peretz is the mother of Lieutenant Uriel Peretz, 1976 to 1998, who fell in battle in Lebanon. And she is also the mother of Major Eli Raz Peretz, 1976 to 2010, who fell in the Gaza Strip. Eli Raz was married and the father of four children, ages 6 years to 1 month, when he fell. His six-year-old son was named Or Chadash, as in a new light, commemoration of his fallen uncle. Miriam was born in Morocco. Her parents could not read, write, understand Hebrew. Her father knew one word in Hebrew, Yerushalayim. And when they moved to Be'er Sheva, and people said to him, "Where do you live?" he would say, "Yerushalayim." When the IDF came to her home on Erev Pesach to inform her that Eli Raz had been killed, the second son, when she saw them coming, she locked the doors. She closed the windows. She pulled down the tresim. She says, "Because when you see them coming, they're coming to tell you one thing. And I did not want them to come in and tell me one thing. I did not want to hear this news. When I finally let them in, I said to them, 'Please, don't tell me yet what you have come to tell me. Give me one more minute with my son. If you don't say it, I still have Eli Raz.'" Her husband died in between the killing of her two sons, she says, quote, "of a broken heart, Eliezer." He was 56 years old. So she says, so that night it was Pesach. And we sat down to Leil HaSeder, an exalted evening, a holy evening, a geshmak night, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we picked up our kos in our hand. And we said, "B'chol dar v'adar amdi maleinu l'chaloseinu." B'chol dar v'adar. It's not ancient. It's not only the Nile River, it's the Danube River. It spans generations. We did not have Eliezer. We did not have Uriel. We did not have Eli Raz. And yet we said, "B'chol dar v'dar amdi maleinu v'chaloseinu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam." Chulin 139b. Esther, I'm sorry if you were expecting Simcha. It's important. I feel that this is, I love every shiur, I really do. I feel this one's very, very important. Chulin 139b, Esther min haTorah minayin. If you tell me to stop, I can stop. Esther min haTorah minayin, where is there in the Torah an allusion to Esther Hamalka? What's the answer? Very famous, does anyone know? Want to offer? So the Gemara says in Sefer Devarim, very harsh psukim, "V'anochi haster aster panai bayamahu." You should know, says the Almighty, Perek Lamed Aleph, "I'm going to hide my face on that day." You know what that means? The mother's sitting in the park and she's behind the newspaper. Or today we would say the mother's sitting in the park, will have the Aleph of Dolls, and she's texting on her phone. So I don't see the child at the top of the slide. I don't see, is the mother there? The mother's always there. Does the mother sometimes not see? Sometimes the mother doesn't see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kaviyachal, I will hide my face from you on that day." Do you know what Rashi says there? Rashi and the Gemara says it was in the time of Esther Amalka, because the people worshipped other gods. 18,500 Jews went to the party of Achashverosh, the Medrash says. 18,500 Jews, says the Medrash, went to the party of Achashverosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'anochi haster aster panai bayamu." I'll hide my face. Get it? Esther, Astir. The word's the same. Change the kudos. Salvechuk says, in Chatzadik of Racha, in the time of Purim, we have a confrontation between a wicked, cruel monster. You don't want to sit down?
It's okay. Keep going.
Between a wicked, cruel monster and a lonely Jewish maiden. Listen to the sentence. "Upon whose frail shoulders Providence placed a heavy load a responsibility. You are all at different times that lonely Jewish maiden, because each one of us at different times of our lives have a heavy load, have a heavy tafkid, have a big responsibility. One lonely Jewish maiden, Baruch Soloveitchik, says, how can the Jew triumph over his enemies if God has stopped speaking to him, if he only receives cryptic, unintelligible messages? I don't understand. Stabbing in Yerushalayim, a shooting in Yerushalayim, and then a stabbing in Tel Aviv, and he's running through the streets from Yafo. I don't understand. It's cryptic, unintelligible messengers. V'anochi hastir astar panai b'kayim b'yam ahu. I don't see. So what should I do? How shall I carry on? So Rav Soloveitchik says, even during times of hastir panim, Hashem wants us to carry on, to make decisions, to be courageous, to undertake difficult tasks, such as the superhuman tasks placed before this young, inexperienced, frail Jewish maiden. We must act, he says, with courage and wisdom, even during a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face. And in fact, the Medrash says, there is no more difficult psukim in the Torah for Hashem as when he wrote those psukim about Hester Panik. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about himself, there is no more difficult verses in the entire Torah than the verses that speak about hiding the face. Because it's very dangerous if your child's at the top of the slide and it's very, very high and the mother's not looking. It's very, very dangerous. More than the Klalos and Bechukosai, the hardest verses were, I will hide my face on that day. This shir was developed around a number of the Kedoshim who have fallen in this recent wave of terror, and that's why I said I think that it is very, very important for us. It's not just the count last week was at 22, and the count now it's not. It's much more. That was in the fall. And now it's at 33, and after today, I don't know what it's after. We say it by number. That's what our enemy does. The enemy does it by number. I have to have a name, and I have a chrayus. We're coming up to Shabbos Parsha Zachar. See, not so much about Purim, not everything about Purim is Simchadek. Zachar Sasher Salacha Malik. Derech B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. Who's a Malik in every generation? It's somebody else. Around 7:30 p.m. on Saturday evening, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, a knife-wielding Arab attacked Aaron Bennett, his wife, two-year-old son, and infant, who were on their way to pray at the Kotel. Rabbi Nechamia Levy, 41 years old, of the Old City, was upstairs. He was safe. He was fine. He heard the shouts downstairs. He ran downstairs to try and defend the family. And of course, we know that not only was Aaron Bennett stabbed to death, but so was Rabbi Nechamia Levy, who leaves behind 7 Yisomim. He lived in the Old City for 23 years. He was supposed to be released from reserve duty. This past summer, he was 41. He went on. He wanted to go past the usual age of service so he could continue to contribute to the people of Israel. Rabbi Nechamia Levy was buried in the Givat Shaul Cemetery in Jerusalem, survived by his wife and 7 children. Even during the time of Lahashmi, Laharug, Abig, a time when you think, I don't know, God, I don't have words. What should I say? Me and my mother. We forward each other articles. Let me say, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. Nevertheless, Rav Soloveitchik says, make decisions, carry on, courageously undertake difficult tasks, even in such a dark time. Okay, the Pasuk says in Sefer Kedoshim, Lo sa'amod al dam re'acha, or Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. It's Vayikra 19:16. Vayikra Kedoshim. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. What does it mean? Okay, did someone say and I didn't hear?
Don't stand by and just let your brother die.
Don't stand by when your brother's blood is bleeding shut. So if someone Khalil is having a heart attack, so you should call Tzala. Don't just stand there. Do something. Don't stand by when your brother's being attacked, when a father's walking to the Kotel with his two-year-old and his infant, and you hear the altercation and you hear the shouts. So don't just stand there. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. Your brother's being, blood is being shed. Do something. What of us who stand from afar? Yes, we can go on solidarity missions. Yes, we can give tzedakah. But what can we do? I have a question for you. Ready? Dam means blood. What else does dam mean? Dalit mem. Show us. Two letters.
To be quiet.
Oh! Beautiful. Did everyone hear what you said? Mm-hmm. You said to be quiet. So there's something very, very beautiful. Is that what you said? Oh, we're getting there. Beautiful. 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 In that case, it actually means both things, blood and silence. So first, let's understand. Dam means two things, blood and silence. And I'm going to bring you some proofs that it means silence from the Torah, from Tanakh. There's something tremendous about Lashon HaKodesh. If there's a shoresh and it means two entirely different things, there's a connection. Blood, silence, actually the most basic connection, which didn't occur to me, which I'm just thinking of now, which I never thought of, is that when someone's blood is spilled, now they are silent. Right? And the Parsha tells us in Parsha Shmini, we're coming up to it soon, and it was on the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and Aaron's two sons wanted to do something out of the box. I want to think outside of the box. God doesn't want me in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy Voice, but I feel so spiritual. I feel so ecstatic. I feel so passionate. So I'm going to take my fire pan, I'm going to put in some incense, spices, some kataras, and I'm going to light a fire. Eish Zara, Asher Lo Tziva Osam. But you weren't commanded. And in Yahadut, in Judaism, in Yahadus, you can't do whatever you want. So they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Atotze Eish Melifnei Hashem. Fire came out from before God and it consumed their neshama, says Rashi. Two threads of fire entered their nostrils. Very, very famous. Moshe comes to be Menachem, his brother Aaron. The Ramban says Aaron was crying aloud. And when Moshe spoke to him, two famous words. Vayidom Aaron. Ah, Vav and Yod, he, Dalid Mem. Aaron became silent. Dam is blood, dom is silence. Another example is in Kapitel Tehillim 39:3, Lamed Tes, Pasuk Gimel, Ne'elamti, Dumia. I fell silent as if I had been sued. Tachashesi mitov ukeena mitov ukeevi nekar. Ne'elamti dumia. I was soothed, I was silent. So now let's go back. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. Do not stand by in silence while your brother's blood is being shed. Did you hear what I said? The first interpretation is when the guy's blood is being shed, don't just stand there. But maybe we can propose something else. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. While your brother's blood is being shed, do not be
silent.
Storm the heavens. Cry. Beseech. Plead. Beg. Shout for mercy. There's a very serious aspect to Purim. That's the hidden. The revealed is the simcha, is the mishta, is the yom tov, is the mishloach maros. There's Parsha Zachar, there's Lahashmi, Laharu, Laabed, there's Purim, which is Yom Kippurim. That means it's a very awesome, awe-inspiring, powerful day. If it's a day like Yom Kippur, do not, the Torah tells you, remain silent while your brother's blood is being shed. Shimshon Pinchas, Zeker Tzadik Livracha, writes, if a person does not daven for his fellow, it means one of two things. Either he has faulty amunah in the principles of closeness to Hashem. Faulty amunah, why? If you don't daven. So Pinchas says something tremendous. You don't daven for something which you don't believe can happen. Why not ask God for three arms? I'm really not making a joke. Sometimes it would be very convenient. To take care of the kid here, I'd send a text message here. I was going to say answer the phone, except that that's almost non-existent these days. And cook with that hand. Why do you ask for three hands? It's never going to happen. We only daven for what we think can actually happen. So if you don't daven, says Rav Pinchas, you have faulty emunah. You have faulty belief. It means you think you're not asking for a foolish shleimah because it's like three arms. So I'm not going to go three arms. Never once in my life asked for three arms. Or he says, you have a callous heart. One of those two things. And I know that doesn't apply to any of us. Nechamya Lavi was not silent. Nechamya Lavi, Hashem Yikom Damo, paid with his life. Esther, this is not a time for silence. Ayomer Mordechai lahashiv al Esther. Mordechai said, you take a message back to Queen Esther. Ah, al tidami benafsheich lehimalei beis ha-melech mikol ha-yehudim. Al tidami benafsheich. Do not think you will escape with your blood in the palace of the king more than any other Jews. Rabbi Yehuda Amital, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who survived the Holocaust, said, when they came to take us to Auschwitz, they didn't check if we were wearing tzitzit. We should check that on another Jew before we accept him. Al tidami benafsheich. You're not going to escape with your blood. But on the other hand, it means something else. Do not be silent at a time like this. You have the koach, you have the power, you have the position, you have the queenship. You can help. You may not be silent. And then what is the very next pasuk? 4:14. Ki'im hacharish tacharishi be'es hazos. If you don't take my advice, if in fact you persist in your silence at a time like this, Rabbah Vahatzala Ya'amad Yehudim Mimakam Acher. Mimakam HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us. You and your father's house will disappear into the mists of history. Rav Norman Lamb writes, Queen Esther, appraised of the nefarious plans of Haman, probably considered them the rantings of a madman. Very frightening. The hidden and the revealed. The revealed is the story of Esther and Malka. The hidden is the story of all of us. When we talk about the rantings of a madman, are we in Persia? Are we Rachmana Litzlan in Nazi Germany? Are we in 2016? God forbid, Hashem should save us. He could not possibly really mean to do what he proclaimed he would do, writes Rav Lam. It was only when Mordechai spoke to her in words as strong, cold, and cutting as steel that she came to her senses and averted a great tragedy. Similarly, he says, the democracies of the West did not believe what Hitler said he would do in Mein Kampf. And he writes, they did not believe it. Quote, they were silent. And 18 million people, along, of course, with 6 million Kedoshim, were killed as a result of that silence. They simply did not believe the reports. Esther did not believe that it could ever happen. However, Esther understood it was the time to take action. An action must always be coupled with tefillah. Which kapitel of Tehillim did she utter on her way to the king? Kaili, 22. So we're going to be talking about Kaili, Lamas of Tani, those famous last words. Tradition tells us that on her way to the chamber of the king, she said a pasuk of Tehillim, chapter 22, kapitel chaf beis, Lamnatzeich ala yalat hashachar mizmor leDavid, to him who grants victory, ayalat hashachar, there's going to be morning light. Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, Kapitel 22 speaks of the renewed vigor of man, even though he is surrounded by darkness. Because when you're surrounded by darkness, what do you figure? What has to come? Even if it takes a long time, what's coming? The morning sun has to rise. This chapter, says Rav Hirsch, gives expression to the thoughts and emotions that come to Yisrael in the midst of the dark night of exile. He says the night of suffering enshrouds Yisrael in the deepest blackness of threatening destruction. But we know our relationship with him is never completely severed, says Rav Hirsch. Yisrael nurtures the memory of past divine support which he gave to our forefathers. And quote, we derive strength and confidence from the knowledge that God will send his help once again. This knowledge helps Yisrael find strength when faced with crushing losses. And faced with crushing losses, we derive some measure of strength, of chizuk, of nechama, from knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us in each and every generation. October 18th, 2015, Sergeant Omri Levy, 19, of Stei Chemed, was killed in a terror attack in the Be'er Sheva bus station. The terrorist was armed with a pistol and a knife. he cut the strap. You know, the soldiers wear the guns and straps. He cut the strap of Armi Levi in the bathroom, snatched the knife, and he killed him. He opened fire and wounded at least 10 Israelis in the bus station. Armi grew up on Moshav Steichamed in central Israel near Kfar Saba. He attended the regional high school in Emek Yarkon. He suffered from back problems, but he succeeded in enlisting in the Golani Brigade. Armi's father, Noam, passed away several years ago from a sudden heart attack. After his father's death, Armi became the mainstay in the family. Sergeant Armi Levi was buried in Moshav Steichamed. He is survived by his mother, Efrat, his twin brother and sister, Roi and Yuval, who are 16. Amnatzeach, Yalet HaShachar, Mizmor LeDavid, cried one lonely, terrified, yet determined and brave, courageous Jewish maiden. Queen Esther said, Yisrael derives strength from the confidence that God will send his help. So now we come to, who said before, Keli Keli Am Zabtani? Nobody wants to, you're saying, wasn't me. You know, with me, how would you translate that pasuk? Capital 22, pasuk base. Keli Keli Lama Azavtani Rechok Mishu Asi Divresha Agasi. How would you translate it?
I've heard it translated two ways. In fact, I think I heard in the name of Esther Waxman, okay. Nachshon Waxman's mother, that she said, it's not Lama Azabtan, it's Lama Azabtan.
Okay, so it's Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. Okay. Right? On his commentary on Tehillim. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch on his commentary on Tehillim writes, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch on Tehillim 22:2. Look at that. Short, but it could change your life. Keli Keli Lama Azavtani is usually translated, my God, why have you abandoned me? Far from the words of my roar are your salvation. I'm calling out from help, and you're so far. So Rav Hirsch says, it's not why did you abandon me. Keli Keli Lama Azavtani says, Rav Hirsch, quote, Lema, for what purpose? For what reason? I'm quoting Rav Hirsch. King David does not ask why. Rather, he asks, what is the purpose of the utter despair which Israel senses as it suffers in exile? Not Lama, but rather Lama. To ask why of the Almighty, ladies, is futile, dangerous, and senseless. Not why, but rather for what? Far from the salvation are the words of my cry. Asking why of the Almighty is a question without what? An answer. Asking why of the Almighty is a question without an answer. Rather, as she passes down that long and foreboding hallway on her way to the king, she asks of him, what do you want from me? What can I learn from this? What is this all for? October 5th, 2015, Thursday evening, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, 5776, Rabbi Eitam Henkin and Na'ama were driving home with their four young children in the back seat. It was Thursday. At least two terrorists targeted their vehicle. As the Henkins drove by, they suffered multiple gunshot wounds to their upper bodies. They were killed. Their four children were rescued from the vehicle. Eitam was born in Yerushalayim, and he studied at Nir Yeshiva in Kiryat Arba, served in the Golani Brigade. He was a rabbi, a historian, and a Torah scholar. A neighbor described them as a dream couple. In life and in death, they were inseparable. Which reminded me of the pasuk from Bereishis, Al Kein Yaazov Yishas Avi V'Imo, V'Davak B'Ishto, V'Hayu L'Basar Achad. Therefore a man should leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Everyone knew they went everywhere together, said the neighbor. They invested a lot in their relationship, in their family, in their children. Eitam Henkin and his wife Na'ama were buried in Givat Shaul Cemetery in Jerusalem. They are survived by their families as well as their four children. Matan Hillel 9 Nitzan Yitzchak 7, Neta Eliezer 4, and Itamar 9 months. A friend sent me a very moving, very powerful, very sad interview with Rabbanit Henke, a Hebrew interview, but she spoke very, very eloquently, clearly with Hebrew subtitles, and I was able to understand it. I paused it after each sentence so that I could write down the transcript of the interview, which I'm going to share with you. Rabbanit Henke related Matan, 9 years old, sat next to me at the Azkarah. When he heard Rav Shai Hirsch tell that Abba used to sit with him in Beit Knesset and would learn halacha with Matan. So Matan looked at me, he looked at Safta, and he said, "Hu tzodek, bedyuk, Rabbi's right, exactly right." The older two, she said, will have some memories of their parents. To the younger two, she said, we will tell them stories, we will show them pictures. Quote, "I feel that during these days we are seeing the greatness of Am Yisrael," said Rabbanit Henke. "During and since the Shiva, I feel that we are ready. Am Echad. Sheyesh Lanu Goral Echad," which is unbelievable, because how reminiscent of what? Purim. He poor who? Hagoral. Why did Rabbanit Henke say we are one nation, one people, one law, one destiny? We are one. Vayomer Haman leMelech Achashverosh. Yeshno Am Echad. We translated it before. One leader of Soloveitchik says Am Echad means one united people. Klal Yisrael is one united nation. There are noise or kolach. When we are fragmented, woe unto us. Yeshno Am Echad Mufuzar Amufur. They might be scattered and dispersed, but they're one people. Said Rabbanit Henke. Am Echad. Sheish Lanu Goral Echad. A Jew, when facing Amalek, must never feel alone. Al ta'amur al dam re'echa. Al tadami bin nafshech li malei beis ha-melech mikol ha-yehudim. And what did she say? Leich knos, what did Esther Malka say? Leich knos? As call the Yehudim, go gather all the Jews that are found in Shushan. Fast for me, don't eat and don't drink. Me and my maidens will fast as well. Leich knows as call the Yehudim. All kippot, maybe without kippot, all ages, all communities. But sumu alai, fast for me. Today you cry for my pain. Today you cry for my tafkid. Today you cry for my nisayon. Every Jew must cry for me today. For my plight, I feel, said Rabbanit Henke, she'anachnu biyachar b'ma'avak hazeh. We are together in this struggle. Now I'm going to quote the interview. Ready? Do you have questions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time? The interviewer asked Rabbanit Henke, quote, "Ani cholaket et hako'ev sheli im HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Zenachon. I pass my pain on to him. This is correct. And you don't ask. We don't ever look heavenward and say, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani, forget the Lama. Who doesn't say why? I challenge you. It's not really a test. Don't stand up. Who in this room can say, I never said to the Almighty why? No one's exempt. Everybody sometimes says, Lama. But we have to move to the place of Lima. Perhaps that's why it can be read two ways. Perhaps that's why it's ambiguous. Because the Almighty knows what a human being is. He knows our feelings, he knows our emotions, he knows our struggle, he knows our pain. And he knows that sometimes you do say Lama. My God, for what purpose is my pain and my suffering? Cried David HaMelech. Cried Queen Esther, cries the widow and two children of Aaron Bennett, and the widow and 7 Yisomim of Nechamia Levi, and the mother and the twin siblings of Omri Levi, and his father and Shamayim, and the grandmother of Benit Hankin of 4 Yisomim. For what is the reason that we suffer? By the way, if you're waiting for me to get to the end and tell you an answer, I don't have it. You don't ask, the interviewer said, quote, "Ein li ta'am lish'ol." I have no reason to ask. אני מאמין, please listen. אני מאמינה שהקדוש ברוך הוא שם אותנו בעולם לא על מנת לקבל שוברים. I believe the Almighty put us here not to get a free pass. לשבת חינם בבית מלון, not to have a free weekend, a vacation in the spa, in the hotel. הקדוש ברוך הוא מטיל עלינו תפקידים. God gives every person a unique mission. Listen to her next words. הוא לא שואל אותנו, תרצו לקבל? He doesn't come down and say, would you like to accept this? אתם שמחים עם הדרך שהדברים מתפתחים? Are you happy with the way things are going? אני מספרת לו מדי יום שאני לא שמחה. I tell him every day, I am not happy. Then she cries. And then she says, "V'ani yodat shehu sham l'shma." As her voice breaks, she says, "But I know he's there to listen." V'ani gam vina, but I also know sheyesh li tafkid lahamshich. I have a mission to continue. V'ani mishtadalat kemeitav yocholti. I'm doing the best that I can. And then she cries and she says to the interviewer, "Slicha." I'm going to read it again without my own commentary. And I translated it the first time, so for the full impact of her words, I'm not going to translate it now. First she says, "Anachnu biyachad b'ma'avak hazeh," we're together in this struggle. And then the interviewer says to her, "Do you have questions for the Almighty?" "Ani cholaket et ha'ko'ev shali im HaKadosh Baruch Hu zenachol. Ein li ta'am lish'ol. Ani ma'amina שהקדוש ברוך הוא שם אותנו בעולם לא על מנת לקבל שוברים, לשבת חינם בבית מלון. הקדוש ברוך הוא מטיל עלינו תפקידים. הוא לא שואל אותנו, תרצו לקבל? אתם שמחים עם הדרך שהדברים מתפתחים? אני מספרת לו מדי יום שאני לא שמחה. ואני יודעת שהוא שם לשמוע. אבל אני גם מבינה שיש לי תפקיד להמשיך, ואני משתדלת כמיטב יכולתי. סליחה. אלוקי אקרא יומם ולא תענה. Capital 22, verse 3, I cry to you by day, you don't answer me. ולילה ולא דומי עלי. And at night, here's that word again. Here's that שורש again. ולא דומי עלי, דלת מב. Shamshar Falher says, what is dumia? A combination of dome, which is inner quiet, and dama, outward silence. My heart is not at ease. My anxiety is not diminished. V'cha batchu avoseinu. Our forefathers trusted in you. Batchu v'tifalatemo. They trusted in you and you delivered them. Her says, what do we gain with tefillah? Many things. Sometimes what we want. Always closeness to the Almighty. But we also gain an aspect of comfort just by turning to Him, which if you paid attention to the interview of Rabbanit Hankin, was exactly what she said. Ani cholaket et ha'ko'ev shali im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Natan Meir's wife, Daphna, was murdered on Sunday, January 17, 2016. At the time that I prepared the shir, she was the last of the Kedoshim in this recent wave of terror. Next week, I was zocheh to be in Eretz Yisrael. And the first thing myself and my husband and our 12-year-old daughter did, the week after Daphna Meir was buried, we went to Levaya. That was the first thing we did. On her menuchot of Shlomi Kregman, who was shopping in the Makola when my husband got into the taxi Tuesday morning to go to Shachris. There was a picture of the Yediot Achronot. He took a picture of it from the backseat. Caption said, "Mechablim b'makola." Shlomi Kregman, whose levaya I was at, is buried next to Daphna Meir. Daphna Meir was murdered. Her husband, Natan, was the last to eulogize her. We met as soldiers on the border of Lebanon. It took us a moment to fall in love. It took you a moment. I said to you then, "Welcome." I say to you now, farewell. We are only thankful for every moment that we had with you. You left me 6 treasures. I will guard over them. The 6 children include 4 biological and 2 adopted children. Renana is 17. Akiva is 15. Noah 11. Ahava 10. Yair 6. and Yaniv. He turned to God, quote, and he assured him his faith was not weakened by the murder. I have no second thoughts about you at all, dear Father. Give us strength. Be present in our home. Let us feel your love. My Daphne, he said, was one in a million. And now her truth is shattered on the floor. Pick it up, she said. Pick up her light that was shattered on the ground. Kaylee. Lama Azovtani? Kaylee, Lama Azovtani? Is there always an answer? Or are we more often than not left with lingering questions that have no answers? David HaMelech says in Kompito 65, verse 2, Lecha Dumia Tehila. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, silence is praise. Bless you. Salvechik says, we must sometimes engage in voiceless, mute, passive acceptance. Listen. Am I okay for time? I was told I have 45 to 50 minutes. I hope you're all okay. I told you, I feel it's an important share. I'm moving to the final part. A Jew must accustom himself to the idea, quote, that not all questions have answers. There's a general rule when you learn Talmud. And what's the general rule? Sometimes you will resolve the difficulty with what? Teiku. What does teiku mean? It's an acronym. Tishbi Yivah, Erkush Yosuvayas. Oh, you have a question, so the Gemara tells you you can't resolve it. That's okay. Wait for the Messiah. When he comes, you'll understand. Sometimes the answer is teiku, says Rav Soloveitchik. But if God gave us the oral law, shouldn't it encompass all answers? How, says Rav Soloveitchik, can the Gemara possibly be so inconclusive? My father, he says, asked this question. His father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he answered, the Gemara's teiku must resolve the unanswered questions within each individual. If a Jew never has to say teiku, if he thinks all of life's questions are answered, he's nothing more than a fool. However, take note of the difficulty, says the Rav, and move on. Unanswerable, unexplained tragedies have accompanied the Jew through our entire history. We recite a blessing before we eat, and we satisfy our hunger. And in contrast, we could say we recite a blessing on the wonderful parts of Purim. We're going to say, oh, Mikra Megillah, we don't only read it at night, we read it in the morning. Why in the morning? L'amnatzech, ala yalad ha-shachar, I see morning light, there's redemption, there's hope. I'm going to recite a bracha on Mishloach Manot, I'm going to recite a bracha on Sudah Purim. Make a bracha when we're happy. Make a bracha when things are good. Make a bracha when I feel the shmak. However, in cruel contrast, says Rav Soloveitchik, upon the tragic death of a loved one, the Jew tears his clothing at the moment of greatest grief, and even then, he recites a bracha. This expresses a person's ability to sometimes engage in passive, mute, silent acceptance. Lecha dumia tehila. Perhaps, ladies, I told you I don't have an answer. I wish to God I had an answer. Perhaps the greatest unanswered question that will remain with us until Teiku Tishbi Yivar Kushios Uvayos is the answer to the question of for what purpose do we suffer? Vayomer Haman Lamelech Achashverosh Yeshno Amechan Mufuzar Mufur Beino Amim V'daseyem Shonos Mikol Ames Daseh Amelech Einon Osim V'lamelech Ein Shoven Lahanichan. Kill them any way you can. Natan continues describing his journey home that night. I called my mother. I said a blessing. What did I say? Hashem gives, Hashem takes. Blessed be the name of Hashem. I am thankful for every moment I was with Daphna. From the day we were soldiers, I fell in love with her until the last day. Lately, said Natan, it has become dangerous in our area. Daphna was aware of that. She avoided driving on certain roads. We live in a community that is battered. Daphna was happy about every gray hair in my beard because she said it was so nice to see a settler getting old. I believe in people. I am not giving up. We are mourning. Please listen to the next paragraph. We are mourning and in pain, but there is no anger in our home. Even the fact that they caught the terrorists is of no meaning to me. The Lord took the most precious thing I have. Here's the part I want you to listen to. But if that's the challenge, let it be that way. Quote, we don't understand anything. Our measurements are too small. He can be present in the home, he, meaning the Almighty, even when there's a big question mark. Being religious does not mean being a person with answers. Being religious means being a person with questions. Salvechik says that Avraham Avinu asked questions. Are you listening? How many times did I say that tonight? Should be counting? A lot. Had Avraham Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. Today you tell me, Ki b'Yitzchak ikar l'chazara. You see the kid you waited 100 years for? Offspring through him. The next day, okay, 37 years later, you tell me, Kachnes bin Chavaleo Shamaola. You know the kid you waited so long for? The pigeon, a bed, and the bris milah, and you invited everyone, and you weaned him, and you went to yeshiva. Goshachtim. Excuse me? Which is it? Go to the land, it's going to be great for you. Abraham gets the land by Yirabart. Okay, there's a famine here. Which is it? No questions. Avraham Avinu did not ask a single question. Because Rav Soloveitchik says faith means not only to believe, it means not to ask. The Lord took the most precious thing I have, but if that's the challenge, let it be. We don't understand anything. Our measurements are too small. Being religious doesn't mean being a person with answers. Being religious means being a person with questions. Al tirchak mimeni, Capital 22, verse 12. Don't be far from me. Kitzara krova, the pain is so near. Ke'en ozer, there's no one else to help me. Leich knosas kol Yehudim, go gather all the Jews that can be found in Shushan. Hanimtzaim b'Shushan, v'tzumu alai v'al tochu v'al tishtu shloshas yamim laila v'yam. Gamani v'nara sayatzum kein. Go find every Jew from Jerusalem to Be'er Sheva. From New York to Toronto, go rouse them in Australia and in Alaska and Mexico and Panama. They cannot be quiet. Call out to them in the capital city of Shushan and in province 124 and in province 52 and in province 31 and 39. Tsumu alai, fast for me, one lonely Jewish maiden and the heavy burden of responsibility. Fast for all our pain, our suffering, our tears, for every offering. The ones I named, the ones I didn't name. For every ola on top of that distant mountain. Do not eat and do not drink and fast for 3 days. We have Shabbat Zachor. We have Tanit Aster. We have Lech, we have Kol Yehudi Minar Vadzake, and there's two parts to the Megillah. It's true, the Gemara says, Mishanich Nesadr Marvin Besimcha. But don't forget the other part. Don't forget that we can't be silent. And like this, Uvachain Avo El Hamelach, with our questions, with our fears, with our national fate, with our pain-filled, tear-filled, yet glorious destiny, Avo El Hamelach, I will come to the King of Kings, our Father in Heaven. I will throw myself in supplication before Him. I will deliver all the tefilos, I will beg Him to annul the decree against our people. Kasher avadati, avadati. If I shall perish, then I shall perish. But at least I will have done my part. I will have accepted my tafkid. I will have risen to the task, risen to the occasion. I will have shouldered the heavy burden placed upon the shoulders of one frail Jewish maiden who is called upon to save the Jewish people from Haman Harasha Mizara Amalek, long, long ago, in a land far, far away. As a Kadosh Baruch Hu answered her tefillas, Vayomer Melech Esther Hamalka, and the King of Kings said to Queen Esther, Masha Eloseich V'yinasein Lach. What would you like? I will give it to you. May we be Zoche. Kayamim Asher Nachu Behem HaYehudim. Tell me, is this a pasuk from thousands of years ago? Or is it a pasuk we're waiting for to see come to fruition today? Kayamim Asher Nachu Behem HaYehudim Me'oveihem. One day, ladies, it's going to come. We're going to rest from our enemies. That month, there won't be any kedoshim. It will be switched from yagon to simcha, from pain to joy. We'll have only shiurim about joy. It will go me'evel le'yomtov. It will go from mourning to agishmak yantov. So it's also yom mishta v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l're'eu u'matanos la'avyonim. As they were answered, may we be answered. May we be zocha to the Bias Gol El Tzedek, who will answer all of our questions. It should be b'mheira b'yameinu. I wish you all of Klal Yisrael b'chol makom shehem a chodesh Adar of true enhanced mishenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha. Amen v'amen. Thank you, ladies.